Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. Before we introduce our next episode, just to ask you for a small favour, I really appreciate the hours that some of you are investing into watching the podcast that we've done in the past, but I'd like to ask you to do me one favour that would take you seconds. If you enjoy the show, please hit the subscribe button, and if you enjoy any show in particular, please click on the thumbs up. It'll make a massive difference to the podcast. So thanks very much for your continued support, feedback, and I hope you enjoy this one.
Ange was over, I can remember this day, Ange was over talking to, like, it was like a coaching day they were calling it. So all the coaches for the suburbs would come in and watch your training. But we're doing wheelbarrow races and the guys that have played in the channel, like, Oz has fucking get so many caps for Australia, captain of Australia. It was crazy. And then you're like, what the hell's happening here? But to be fair, when I look back and I've done the sessions, they were actually good. I actually took a couple of them for myself and still do them. When I broke my nose, so I was out for a couple of weeks. And then he gives it the old man, I'm on the shoulder, we need you back and all that, we need you back playing. And I'm like, well, I can play now. I've had the, because I had to get it put back in place surgically, so I had to be knocked out and all that. And then you're not allowed to play for 2 weeks after that.
What, so, because of the anaesthetic?
No, just because they had to put it, like, now normally somebody can just go like that, bang, and put it back in place. I had to go for an operation to get it put back in, because I'd started having a Saturday and I think it was like a Tuesday or something. So I'd waited too long for it to be put back in itself. So after that, they say that you can 2 weeks before it can, like, start properly healing. So in the 2 weeks, he's giving me the old damn in the shoulder. Need to get your back and stuff. So I was, even though I'd broke my nose up, still like cycling and going running and stuff when the boys were training. So I was reasonably fit to go back in. And then plays a couple of reserve games, gets back in the squad for the first team, and then is bombed. But I was like, I can remember speaking to a few of the players saying, what the fuck, have you done something? And I'm like, no, I've not even spoke to them. So they gave me the old round the shoulder saying he needs me back in the team now. And then, because there's 5 foreigners, but they wanted to sign like some an attacking midfielder for, I don't know, some foreign country, like Colombia or something. He was like a 35-year-old. And they're like, we need you to go so that we can get him in. And I was like, all right, no worries, but you need to pay me all my, what I've left at the end of the season. Then they started trying to him. No, I was like, no, you're wanting me to go, so you need to sort it out. And then eventually they did. But I'll never forget, it was a... Ange was, he didn't like experienced players at that point.
Is that maybe because he at this point is an inexperienced manager?
I think he'd been in the game for a long time, but no, as a manager, he'd been coaching and stuff. And I think it was like he didn't want him to like speak back to him or whatever. So he had a meeting Monday and he came in. And him and Danny Teato, remember we Danny Teato? They didn't like each other because he used to slag Danny on the TV. Ange used to do like the Fox Sports for the games. And he used to always slag Danny because Danny used to do a stupid tackle and get sent off and things like that. So they had a ding-dong over the years. So Danny Teato plays with us as well. And Ange just came in and had a big team meeting Monday. And Danny, he gets called Teats. So he's out in the pitch. And we're having this meeting. And he said, to be fair, he said, I go at Craig Moore. And I was just having a go back with him. Then he tried to have a go at Charlie. I think Charlie had a go back. And then Danny Teato comes down. You can hear the ball bouncing all the way down the tunnel. And he can bust him through the door. And then Ange says to him, who the fuck do you think you're coming in at this time? And we Teats just side volley.
No.
smashes the ball and it starts bouncing all the dressing room. And then he's like, basically just says, fuck you, I'm out here. And just grabbed his stuff and fucked off.
And when he went to you and Charlie and that, did you leave that club at the same time?
Well, I stayed for an extra month, but no, did I? I think I stayed in Australia for a month, but I'd only with the club for another 2 weeks. And then Charlie went to the rivals, Gold Coast.
Yeah.
But I think, to be fair, you kind of knock him because he let everybody go. And then I think they won the league I don't know if it was the next year or the year after. So he done what he was there and he's progressed. And to be fair, he's flying now with Spurs.
No, to be fair, when Charlie was on, Charlie was speaking about it, and he said that he moved. And he says, in hindsight, he says, I probably had a space there. Mm-hmm.
I think he liked Charlie as a player.
Yeah.
Because Charlie was, maybe not that season, but the season before, Charlie got like player of the tournament, or MVP, or whatever they call it. And Charlie was flying. And he got a couple of injuries the next season, the season that I was there. But still, he was still doing well.
So with Charlie staying, did you have the opportunity to stay in Australia? Or?
Well, didn't I? Because what happened was the first month that I went, my missus came with me, and then she had to come back because the club had to give me a visa, and she was working back here and stuff. The plan was if I was going to stay longer, she'd have come over. But she came over at Christmas for a month as well, and then she fell pregnant, so just... Look, it worked in the way when I came back. My wee boy was born in September, so...
For the rest of your family life, it made sense.
The Wayne being born in Australia, and then my mum and dad her mum and dad don't get to see the Wayne, so...
But for a guy who, earlier on in his career, had opportunities to go abroad, had opportunities to go down south even, and didn't want to do it, are you glad that later on in your career you took that plunge and done Australia? Is it something you enjoyed doing?
I know, I loved it. Loved it, even the people that I got to meet, teammates, but still text them the new and have a laugh and a joke. Got to meet their families, I've seen their kids are now growing up and 18, 19 year olds, got their own businesses and stuff. So it's crazy when you think back and see these wee kids and then now they're adults. Just fortunate enough I had the opportunity to go there and get to meet these people and call them my pals.
No. I think. Even forgetting the football, just to go and live in another environment, you know, just do something a bit different in your life. It's something.
I think for me, the thing was as well, it's English speaking, they drive the same side of the road. Yeah. I lived with Craig and Heather, his missus, and their kids, and then Charlie lived across the road, so it was ideal for me. I didn't have to go and try and find a house to live in or a flat or go and get a motor or whatever. It was just basically, I was with the boys and they helped me.
I think when you were younger and you were looking, chances of maybe going to Italy, language, friends, having that bubble, just wouldn't have been the same.
And I didn't want it. My heart was set on playing for Rangers.
So you came home, done a wee stint with Dundee, wee stint with Cowdenbeath. It's time to hang your boots up. How does that decision come about? You know, for a guy that age would you have been then, about 31?
30.
So, you know, you've been involved in football for 20 years. you know, at one level or another, and then professionally for, you know, most of your life at that point. What makes that decision? How do you get to make that decision, and how do you feel about it?
Well, the decision was basically made for me, to be honest. It was my wee man was born, and probably for the first time, I actually said to myself, right, I'm going to get back proper fit. I'd lost a lot of weight. I didn't see like the last maybe 2 or 3 years of playing. I didn't dedicate myself the way I did when I was younger. Even though I was out maybe on the piss a lot when we were younger, I still, every kid ever in training, never missed training much. Put a shift in. And I probably never done that as much as when I was getting maybe when I went to Australia, or when I left Motherwell, sorry. Didn't have that same drive as what I did when I was younger. And it's probably my own fault for the stupid things that I've done with the drink driving and things. Maybe didn't have as much drive as that I did, should have had. But when my wee boy was born, I tried to get that back. And I was out running Strathclyde Park every day. I just lived up the road, so I was taking him out walks. I'd lost loads of weight. And I'm thinking I'm going to get back in about it. And I went with Kenny Branagan, was Queen of the South. I was training with him until something else came up. And I think that's when I went to play the games with Cowdenbeath, the three games, because you can play three games of trialist. So Jimmy Nick phoned me and says, Bob, can you come and help us out, play three games? And I went, right, no worries. I think I played two of them. And then changing my wee boy's nappy, turned to put him down on the couch, and my back went.
Don't put something as daft as that and innocuous as that. But you did say you had back problems earlier in your career. Was something that you'd become problems with.
Because it had like my arch, the arch on my back's like, it's like strange. It's always something Bomber used to say to me, you need to do these certain exercises to try and help it and all that, make it stronger. And to be fair, I did do them when I was younger. But there was still sometimes I'd have to miss training for a couple of days to ease up and things. But I just remember that. So it was my sciatic nerve that went. And I'm like, what the hell? So I couldn't move. I had to phone my sister to come leave her work, come to my house.
You sure just didn't like changing nappy?
No, the nappy was changed. That was the worst thing. The nappy was changed. It was just when I turned around to put them back, my back went. And then, so I'm lying in the ground. The Wayne's lying on the couch, greeting. I couldn't get up to lift them. I had to phone my sister, so she rushed all the way up, and she walks in and starts laughing at me because I'm sprawled out in the flare. Next day I goes to Community South training. Big Kerzo was a physio. I don't know if you know Big Kerzo, no, Big John Kerr. Great guy. He was a physio. And he's like to me, Bob, I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know what that is. She's like, strange, I don't know. Like, he was checking my back, nothing, said, he checked my feet, which I'm thinking to myself, why are you checking my feet if it's my back that's sore? Because I'd like done the left-hand side of my left leg, had no feeling from my shin down to my toe. So he's like to me, started looking at like my right in at my toes, and he says, we've got a feet woman that came in and done things with, like cut people's toenails and all that. She comes in on a Friday, go away. This must have been like a Wednesday or something. Come in Friday, see this woman. She started lifting like tweezers into my toes and lifting wee bits of wood and all that. So I'm like, what's that? She's like, it's like wee bits of, if you get wood and flailing in the house. And I said, aye. She's like, it's like wee scales you've got on your feet. I'm like, but that kind of be what's making my back sore. And she went, I don't know. I'm only just picking these things up. And then end up, I went and got a scan done, and it was my sciatic nerve. The muscle had came through and jabbed on the nerve. And then the physio said to me, look, this can be a week or two, or it could be life. There's no way knowing how long this can take. And that was it. I just like, oh, fuck it, that's me done. But I tried. When was it? Might have been like I'd said to you, I've been fit and stuff, and I was keeping myself fit. Once I got started getting the feeling in that back, I went back out running, but I was running with a limp. And Kenny Shields phoned me, and he's like to me, Bob, what are you doing? And I said, well, nothing. I'd done my back and not really been doing it. I've been trying to get back fit. And he said to me, what about coming into Kilmarnock? He said, I want to get you fit and I want you to come in and play for me. I said, look, Kenny, I don't know how long this is going to take. I've been told it could be a week, it could be a lifetime, I don't know. He's like, come in, your physio will work with you. We get you fit and then take it for there. I went, fine. And it was Alec McQueen, used to be the Rangers physio. He was the physio at Queen's at the time. And then he's like, look, I know what's up with you. My missus had the exact same thing. It's your sciatic nerve, the muscle. So he gave me exercise today. And then see, within about 2 weeks, started like the releasing and stuff. I'm out running. The boys are doing pre-season. He's working with me myself. Can feel myself getting fit again. And then the problem that I had is my feeling at my toes and my ankle, or like my left side, where I couldn't properly feel them. And then he said to me, they had a friendly against it was Oldham or something at Rugby Park. And he said to me, can you think you could play? I went, I'll get a go. I said, I don't know how long it'll last or whatever. I played and done all right in the game. I knew that my leg was gone. And he's like, how did you feel? And I said, all right. But I said, I still know 100%. So I still kind of feel my left leg properly. And he's like, right. And this time I'd already committed to doing the London Marathon for Deborah, the charity. And he's like to me, go and do that. And when you come back, we'll sit down and have a chat.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
See, soon I'd done a London Marathon. That was me. Gone. Legs were away. Back had went again. No, as bad as what it was, but could just, for 2 weeks or something, I could tell a walk. I was like, nah, I'm done.
Incredible. See, looking back, do you think if you hadn't done the London Marathon, you'd maybe get a season out of it?
Maybe. I wouldn't have. It would have been just for the sake of trying to get in about it again. It wouldn't have been. Probably, maybe I've lasted a couple of weeks, a couple of months or whatever, and been probably glad now that it did happen in another, because I would have probably made an ass of myself.
Maybe I regretted it if you did a rotten end. This is a thing that, and you see different people react differently. You've never had a normal job, right? You've went for school, S form, school, apprentice, and being a professional football player, and you're now 30. How does your head cope with that when you just suddenly go, right, well, that's it, I'm not a football player anymore? How do you process that, and how do you deal with it?
I don't know. To be honest, Craig, I've always had this ability to just blank things out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's something that I've always had. If there's something wrong, I can put it to the back of my head and blank it until the point where it comes up again. It's always been something I've been able to do. I think probably the big thing was because my boy was born, so I got to spend every day with him. Even though I was still going training, some of the days I was getting up, taking him out a walk, getting him ready, meant that she could go back to her work or do what she was doing. And spent proper time with him, and then obviously the opportunity came to go coaching. When I think at that time I was probably a good year anyway, at least out the game, no doing anything. then had the chance with Juki. Juki was his fife manager. He said to me, why don't you come in and train and do a wee bit of coaching and that? And I went, any worries.
And had you started getting your badges at that point, or was that what drove you to do it?
No, me and Fergie had always spoke about it. Not to be like managers or assistant managers or whatever. We always spoke about one point we had to go and get our badges and whatever. And so I had, when Juki had phoned me and said that, I was like, aye, because it would be a good experience for me. And Juki had obviously took a bad turn. Maybe, I don't know if it was maybe only 2 or 3 weeks before I had been there.
Did you cause these heart problems then?
No, myself. Stress. I think he's probably 40, what the hell's happening here. Part-time, it's totally different. And obviously, with the budgets and that, the lower leagues. So, but no, Juki was brilliant. He was obviously, that was his first manager's job and all. He had a good assistant, big, what's his name again? Jesus Christ. Dundee United manager. Kenny, big Kenny. No, it's no. Oh, it'll come back to me. Dodds, used to be Dodds's big centre half, you know, fucking hell.
Dundee United player as well.
Mm-hmm. Dundee. Both of them, he was the manager of Community South and then met Dundee.
I'll come back to me. Probably in the motor. To see who takes his first right about an hour after, but I'll be for you.
So he was the assistant. And Dodgy went through and all. He has wee bit. So I was learning half of him. And then also Juki took the bad turn. So the boy took her. And then he's like to me, you come in. Because Dodgy had TV work, so he couldn't do games. He was in the BBC at that time, so he couldn't go on a Saturday. So he's like to me, will you come in and help me on a Saturday? And I was, no worries. And then the team weren't doing so great, so he's like, oh, Chuck, I'm jacking it. I'm like, just keep going. Because I was enjoying the coaching side of it and learning. He's like, see, I'm kind of, these are experienced guys, you know what I mean? They know when things aren't going right. And they're like, nah, it's not for me. And then Billy Brown came in. And Billy Brown said, you stay and help me. I'm like, any worries. Billy was brilliant, to be fair. He's like to me, like, go and you want to do a wee passing drill or something, or do whatever. You took most of it yourself, but give you your wee bit. And then kind of the club turned against him as well. He done, like, he grabbed the mic one day, we were, the team were struggling. We were in the playoffs, but for getting relegated, we played a game at East End's Park. East Fife's Park, sorry. And the woman that does a halftime draw, she's got the mic and speaking to all the fans, and he comes out the tunnel and fucking grabs the mic, and he starts, you know, with the fans' peppers.
Oh.
He's like, "Fucking get behind the team! You don't pay my wages, not that." And it came out. Ended up, it came on the radio, like it was. Somebody had thingied him, were videoing him or something, and had sent it to the radio station, and it came on like as if when he was doing it. And I think after that, the club kind of went like, he's no right in the head, man. But he was good, and I wish he did stay, because I would have learned a lot from him. He was the first man to say to me, see you on a Friday night, I go to the pub and drink, and I'm sitting write my team out, and I'm sitting having a swally. I'm like, why? He's like, because I'm not sitting in the house and my head's gone everywhere. He says, when I'm in the house, that's my family time. He says, after a game on a Saturday, I'll go home. As soon as my front door shut, football's back in my head. That's a good way to think about things. And that's what he done.
So you've started, you dipping your toe in at the coaching, and then you end up, is it Blackpool first with Barry?
Aye.
And how did that come about?
He obviously knew I was doing a bit of coaching, and it was just that, I think that summer that we kept his fife up, and Billy Brown had left, and then obviously I didn't go back because he wasn't there, so I'd probably another couple of months, just we'd already started the process of like trying to go to Belfast to do our badges. I think we were probably going to go, I think we maybe started them that summer, in fact. We started them because it was like a 2-year thing. you do the first half 1 year and then finish it the next. And we'd already started it. And then, but Barry was still playing. And then he phoned me one day and he's like, look, they've offered me the job till the end of the season. Should you like him done? I was like, fucking right, aye. He said, it'll be me, you and Malky Thompson. Now, obviously, Malky's had a bit more experience than us. Went down and loved it. To be fair, it was a great club. Man, the chairman was a bit mental, but...
Aye, what was his name?
Oyston. Carol Oyston.
I've got a vague memory. I get sued for $200,000 with Sandy Easdale when he was director of Rangers. And I think I was the first fan ever sued by a director of a club that he supported. But no long after me, I started getting sent all this stuff, said, you're not alone now, Biggin. And I'm sure he'd done the same to a Blackpool fan at the time that was protesting against him. He must have took a bit of seen what Easdale was doing and thought, I could do that. And he was a second. And I remember, and then I started looking into it and I thought, that guy's monk, that guy's proper nuts.
He was proper minted, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But see, to be fair, he was mental, man. We went to his house one day when we just went down to Blackpool. He's like, I want you to sit down. Before we went down, I want you to get a list of players who, like, Fergie was obviously been there as a player, so he knew who was maybe good enough and who wasn't. He said, we need maybe five players to come in on loan. Can write a list of who you think. So at that time, we're going like that. Fucking Alan Hutton, wasn't playing for Aston Villa. Maybe get him on loan. Other players, but we had maybe five players for each position that was needed. And every time, every one, he would go for the one that was fifth because it was less money for him. So you maybe try to get somebody for the Premier League, but you're ending up taking somebody for like League One. Do you know what I mean? It was crazy. But brilliant experience. There was a fan demonstration every home game with him. And I don't know if you remember seeing it on Sky, the game with all the fans were throwing on tennis balls and tangerines. Well, he had him and his boy were in his box with tennis rackets. Like playing, when they were throwing the tennis balls, not he was just batting them back and playing with each other. Fucking
properly
nuts. And then he would say, they would all go, we pay like the wages, not. And he would say, you don't pay the wages, I pay their wages. Because every single season book in this stadium is the same money. And the season book money doesn't add up to what they get paid in wages. So I pay them. And they could argue them. Because it's not like Ibrox where somebody's paying £800 for a season book and somebody's paying £400. Every season book was maybe like £250. So everybody was paying the same. He was nuts, man. And then he would come to games with T-shirts where they put a print on it. Something that somebody had said about in the paper about him. That week, he would turn up at the game with a T-shirt on with that print on it. You know that? You're making it worse. But he didn't give a shit. And then I think once we left, the next season, I think one of the big sponsors tried to like take you and then ended up going to court and all that because... Basically, the money they had when they went in the Premier League, every payment they got after that when they got relegated, was just put in their back hipper. So, and then that's the boy took him to court and he won his case and then had to sell the club to him.
Eventually, aye. But they really hit it for a wee while, didn't they, Blackpool? So, Blackpool, where was the next stop with you and Barry?
Clyde, with a couple of years at Clyde. That was a strange one because it was obviously Clyde used to be a big club, played at a big stadium, but never had really the fans were maybe, I don't know, maybe 400, 500, 600 at the games. Mm-hmm. And you're playing, it's basically the stadium's empty every second week. But we managed to get him in the playoffs. First year we kind of started all right and then struggled. And then once he got to get his players in that and managed to get to the playoffs, get beat in the final off Queen's Park. Then the next season it all went a wee bit peaked on. I think that's when he started losing his love for it, just the politics and stuff, and then it took a wee bit of time off and then the Kelty job came up.
Aye, that was probably a wee no many people would have tipped that job to come up for doing Barry Ferguson. But he's had a success there.
Aye. To be honest, he phoned me and he said to me, Celtic Hearts. And there was rumours going about in the like the World Leagues that this was the upcoming team. They were paying good wages. There was a few boys that we had or had played the lower leagues that had went to this team, like Juki's boy went to this team, was getting like probably the same money as he was getting in League One or League Two. So with that, I said, what about you hang? He's like, I'm going to go through and meet the boy. And Fair gave it through and he's phoned me and he's well, like, he says, that's no bad, set up. He says, need to come through and we'll go through on Tuesday, watch the training and that. They think they were playing a Scottish Cup game, no, it was a Thursday. Went through on a Thursday and they were playing Peterhead on.
Hi guys, I'd just like to take a minute to talk to you about NordVPN, which is a company that I use their services. I use it majority of the time when I'm travelling abroad, when I want to keep up to date with the programmes I'm watching at the time, or more importantly to me, the sports that I want to watch when I'm abroad. So it doesn't matter where I am in the world, I can still watch the channels and the games and the sports that I want to. It also gives me security and some privacy that I'm looking for when I'm browsing the internet. They've got an exclusive huge discount available to viewers of the podcast, and they'll give you an additional 4 months free on top of whichever package you go on if you use our code. To get that, plus a 30-day, no quibble, money-back guarantee, all you need to do is log on to nordvpn.com/Craig, C-R-A-I-G, and that will get you the exclusive discount plus the 4 months free on top of whichever package you go for. So go and give them a look, guys, and certainly I've had no problem using them in the times I'm travelling abroad, so I mostly use them. Thank you very much.
Saturday. And went through and I was like, oh, fucking hell, didn't I? Wasn't expecting what to be what it was. And I said, what you think? He's like, I fancy it. It's not just a gone for the sake of getting a couple hundred quid a week or whatever. It's like a proper, they want to go places. It's a project. It's not just a, like, come in and do whatever you can do. So as soon as we went in, Everything was brilliant. People that worked at the club, great. Oh, it was all proper older, like, remember the old committees that used to be in the juniors and that? Like, proper, the state, same as that. But they had Dean, the boy that owned it. He was the guy that put his door in. But everybody else ran the club. They managed to get in some decent players and then won the league. But kind of a, it was like, I don't know, no tainted, but
it was a COVID
one. And then we'd still had maybe five or six games to go, and we'd just beat the team that was the closest to us before the COVID kicked in. And then they're saying, but we still go to play them at home, and it was a full thing. But it ended up with the Gidders a league, but didn't matter. We couldn't play fucking Brecon in the playoffs, so didn't really matter.
Aye, so they got a trophy, but you didn't get the reward, because the reward was the chance of getting into the league proper, wasn't it?
That was all the voting thing, no playing and all that. Because they basically just said, right, we have all the league positions, and that's when, like, Celtic also won the league, and yeah. I think it might have done, was it close to that? It wasn't mathematically possible,
and, you know, you could just say, oh, we'll still go to play them here, there, and wherever. It was just the way it was done at the start of my throat.
That, it was the same, obviously, it was the opposite of your level, so it was like, we were trying to get the opportunity to go up, and we knew that if we played Brecon, we'd have beat them.
Yeah.
I think they knew that if, then they're done. But it ended up, it worked itself out, and then that's the way it worked out the next season. We won the league again, and then we played them.
Was it Brecon you eventually played the next season?
We ended up playing Brecon in the playoffs the next season. Realised that? Put them down.
That must have been a sweet night then, eh?
It was, because that's what made it that wee bit about it. We done it properly, we went, and Fergie spoke to the owner and said to him, look, if you give the guys every opportunity. We ended up splitting the teams because there was half the team Edinburgh based and half Glasgow based. So to stop them from travelling, like, we would take a group of maybe 10 boys at Strathclyde or Hamilton behind the pitches. We would take maybe 10 boys there, and then one of the other coaches would take the other 10 throughout the stadium so that they weren't travelling 20 minutes each way. And it worked. We played. We Brecon the first game at home, we beat them 2 or 3-1, I think it was. 2-1. And then up there, we put them out. It was 1-0. Obviously they were gutted because I think they were one of the longest teams in the league.
Team.
So but it was bittersweet because it should have happened the year before.
And then,
hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You won that, got them into the league proper. How long between there and no being there anymore? What was the time between winning that game and used to leaving?
Yeah, about 2 hours.
I kind of remember it was a bit bizarre, but how does that happen?
I don't even know, to be fair. We'd got promoted, and I don't know if you've seen the videos of Fergie's sliding under players' legs in the dressing room with Rob Evied and came down, and they'd organised in Celtic. There's a big, like, it's like a hall, so a big hall thing. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a
community hall.
It's like the old school with the dance flare, and it's got the seats running about the side, and it's got the stage and all that. So we walks in, and then it just came out. Fergie just came out with, like, I'm leaving.
And who's he telling this to? The crowd? To you?
He spoke to Dean. He said, "I need to speak to you, Dean." And it's like, I've got the opportunity to go to Aloha. You hate Fergie for it was just right because of what had happened before with their managers going to better, like moving on to better things. It was a progressive step for him. And then we were just sitting there, and then we've got the committee members coming up and saying, "Oh, can I believe it and all that?" And then that wasn't really thinking anything there, and then, "Well, what are you talking about?" He's like, "He's a leaving." And then I was like, "Jesus Christ."
But I didn't even, you know, spoke about it. You know, inclination.
There was rumours. And it wasn't just Aloha, there was rumours at Dunfermline, Rafe Rovers. So you don't even think anything until proper something like happens, but it was just, I'm like, "Jesus Christ, fuck's sake. At least I've got this couple of hours to get in and get my fucking feet under the table and get a couple of beers."
You didn't even just steak pie at this point.
But listen, that's the way Fergie is. He's got something, he goes for it, and he done it. And to be fair, I think the even though they were gutted, the committee knew that, look, it's an opportunity.
To be fair, you've done what you were asked to do for them, and, you know, in hindsight, can it be class is anything but successful? You won 2 leagues in a row. Mm-hmm. You might have been promoted the year before if it wasn't for the pandemic. So, although they might have been disappointed you left, because certainly couldn't be any hard feelings, but just it's bizarre way of doing it, isn't it?
It was crazy. Listen, we ended up, it was hard when it was brought out, but obviously Dean, he's like, "Look, thanks very much for what you've done." And we ended up sitting with Dean up until maybe like 4 or 5 in the morning before we came back home, sitting having a drink with him. So, I think it was just the way it happened. It was, nobody really expected it, but they went and got Tomo. They got promoted again, so they won the, everybody moved on.
Everybody won. So, Aloha. Who was the manager before? Was it?
Yeah, the manager before was Peter Grant.
Before that
would have been Jim Goodwin, Jack Ross, and who'd have been before that? Three, I think they had three managers that went on to, like, better jobs.
Mm-hmm. It was a good stepping stone for a lot of people. That you were only there long, all right?
It was 7-8 months.
So, and what happened there? Did you just no hit it, or?
It just didn't work out. To be honest, it was like, I don't know. It was a great club, to be fair. Like, as in the same people behind the kit man, Pat, the wee dinner lady they used to come in and make her stuff for training after, like when you finished training, it was always like soup for you or sandwiches or whatever. The goat, everything that we asked for training and stuff. But I don't know. It was just once we got some good, we got a good result against Livingston in the League Cup section, but we get beat half breaking. So it's kind of a, and then we had a good team, but we weren't playing well. Then we were getting beat half teams that should be, we should be beating, and then beating teams that we were like Falkirks and that. We were down to 10 men and drawn 3 each for them. Result, stupid results. And then, I don't know, the fans were just on his case. And it, but to be fair, it was disgusting. Some of the stuff was, even though you can blank off it, some of the stuff that was being said to him, I was even thinking, fucking hell, you can't see things like that, man. Like, they're calling him an orange bastard. And then there's guys coming up going, out, look, that's no acceptable, like fans. I'm like, fair enough, you look. He's, I know he's played with Rangers and he's a Rangers fan, but you can't call him that. He's trying to do his best for Alloa. I said, it's no nothing to do with any sectarianism, would you say anything you want, but you can't call him that. And then you would get, there was this one idiot fan, we played against Cove Rangers up there, and it was the game was a doubt because it was like the mist was right down and they said it might no like shift. So the boys went down the warm up and you could hear that one of the boys that travelled with the team all the time, one of the directors, he's like, a busload just got off at the stadium, they're all mad, but they've been out drinking all the way up in the bus, but they're all fancy dress.
Oh.
Right? So you're like, all right, no worries, cool. And we went out and I think we end up, we get beat, I think, 2-3-0. We never played well. And this guy was dressed up as a Pope, wasn't he?
Oh, no.
And this was the guy who was always shouting to Fergie. Oh. And then we just thought, there was Cove haven't got a great fan base, so they don't have, they're no singing songs, nor that. But this guy, you could just hear him for the full game, man. You're like, oh, my God. So it was embarrassing. Even their directors were going, that's not acceptable. And I think I don't know if they went and said to them, you're no welcome back at your club. It was the things they were saying, it's disgusting. And I think even Mike Mulroney was like, look, even though Fergie was maybe wanting to leave off his own accord, because the chairman, he wanted to do it a couple of times and the chairman said to him, no, why don't you stay? I think he just knew, maybe for your own sanity and stuff, like, just go our separate ways. But sure. I just seen yesterday that big chappers away at Livingston now as well, so that was it's a strange. It's a club who's probably been above the expectations and done well for a few years, and now they've come back down to League One and they're not getting back up, so the fans are on their case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not accepting where they maybe should be, they're maybe over achieved before. No, that's a fair way of looking at it. So see this game at Cove, was that the last game?
No, I don't think it was, no. I think we played Celtic in the Scottish Cup, mm-hmm. and they beat us 2-1. And we actually done well.
And, was it Pope at that game?
Oh, probably. Probably the Celtic trapper in that game. But, no, it was a right good crowd that night. And even Celtic, it was still, it was banter, no, I mean, it was fine. And but then we play well against them, you know, we get beat 2-1. And then I think we play these 5 the next week at home. So you're obviously expecting to beat them. And then we get beat 2-3. And that was it. So
I mean, it's no guarantee, right? But is Barry still want to be into football management, or is he still, I've done, is that something that he still want to be involved in going forward?
I don't know so much. Management, I think maybe if they get an opportunity to come in at a level where they could maybe try and help. I don't know if it maybe like, I don't think part-time suits him. I think he needs to be in working day in, day out, try to like, see what happened to him, like progress his career as in like the way Bomber done for him, or who, like maybe the coaches that he was, when he had, I think he needs to work with them day in, day out to get the best of him.
Because maybe assistant managers sort of to somebody who's up, you think he would be
Maybe not as an assistant, because I don't know if he could work under MD either of, you know what I mean? He's got that, he's either a manager or he's maybe like a head of youth or like a 21s manager, but a good level where bringing players through and just getting a chance. Because see, to be fair, he's coaching, like his drills and stuff that he was, and he would just, sometimes he would just mark it on a bit of paper himself. Maybe take something that somebody's done and day one himself, and you're like, fucking yeah, that was really good.
I had some elements on, mm-hmm. changed some of the elements. Aye.
And then like one of the games we were at Kelty, we played Annan in the cup, and we got a boy sent off after like 20 minutes. And then they scored, and you're like, fuck, that'll be us out of the cup. And they just came, just sitting on the sidelines, and he just went like, I've got an idea, I'm just going to go with it. And he went three at the back, four in midfield, and two wider, mini striker. I'm going, what the fuck's he doing? But it worked unbelievable, because left the two centre-halves on it, and at that level, centre-halves on, they normally, they're not really that good on the ball. So they were...
I didn't know where to go.
They were trying to play, and they were getting the ball away, and then we were hitting them on the break, and we ended up, we scored, and we beat them in penalties.
Good shout.
And then ever since that, if we went down to 10 men, that would be revert to it. And to be fair, most of the time it worked. Maybe once, it never worked one time where we conceded a late goal, but we were always in the games.
That's good thinking, the logic. I like that. I like trying to keep things simple and apply common sense and logic. I mean, you think about what you've just done there, you're shutting, if you're the 10 against 11, your fullbacks and the other team have normally got a bit more freedom than normal. The modern day fullbacks love to bomb forward. So if your two wide ones are up, your two forwards are keeping them, you're keeping them pressed. And these two in the centre are not going to be the same quality, especially with all due respect to the level that, you know, they were at the time. It's actually just applying common sense and logic. So telling us, you've worked for a lot of managers in your day, good and bad. What's Barry Ferguson like as a manager? What's his style?
Oh, probably old school, maybe. I'd say old, no, great, up-to-date ideas, what he wants to do, but maybe it's not let him down, but maybe it could have been maybe a bit better. It was like the way going to dressing rooms, and if they're having a bad game, the way he's like shouting at them. Because you can't really date in the game now, you can have the way you speak to them. And it's the same as when we were growing up. People can take it, people can't. The ones that could take it were fine, the ones that couldn't, they would go in a bad mood and say, oh, you can't speak to me like that, and things like that. And I think, to be fair to Fergie, when after the Clyde job and that, he went away, and that was one of the things that he said himself, I need to like chill out a bit. But it's like everybody wants you on the sidelines. The fucking game takes over and you start shouting and try to, it's like as if you're playing the game yourself. But no, he's had enough. Maybe if he got the opportunity to come back in at a decent level where he could help kids come through or whatever, he would maybe look at it. But as in getting back into management at part time level,
that's probably no fun. We've done that. So, I mean, you've been a coach, you've been an assistant manager, you've been a manager, you've been whatever you want to be. Isn't he tied to Barry Ferguson? Mm-hmm. You know, if Barry was to go to another team, then I would imagine, just to be the world worst, there might be a chance for you to do that going forward. But that might never happen. What's your plans? What do you see yourself doing? I take it you enjoyed your role as assistant manager and coaching, and a couple of times I think you've done like caretaking roles and stuff like that. Have you still got desires to do that? Is that something that you see in your future for Bob Malcolm?
Yeah, definitely 100%. I've obviously just been through a big operation the last few months, and just getting back now. So I've had probably a good year out thinking about what I want to do, and like the usual, sitting in the house doing like your wee sessions and that out, and getting the buzz for it again. Mm-hmm. Now that I can get up and get on the pitch, or maybe not be able to run about the way that I could have done coaching and day drills and stuff, but still put them on and want to get back involved in it. Whether it be somewhere myself as a manager, like I don't know, I'd imagine I'd need to start somewhere lower than what I would probably like to, but I'm happy to do that. I need to prove myself all over again. But seeing if it's another assistant role somewhere, that it's hard because it's something, it's trust in it. You need somebody that can trust you and have the coach to the belief if they want to take you in or no. But I think I always did say that if, because I think maybe the way things were going, I knew that Barry maybe he's wasn't he, like enjoying it or whatever. Then I would, if we did like split, then I would probably go my own way and like try and be a manager myself and just take whatever I've learned in the game over the years and try and go forward with that. As I say, it's an opportunity. You get the opportunity to do it, and then hopefully if I get the opportunity, I can do well, I'll get myself.
Well, I know a place that's got 200 kids. If you're not doing anything and you want to get your foot in again, you're more than welcome. You can come once a week or once a year or once in your life. You're more than welcome down there, I tell you. That's something that I've appreciated, is the amount of ex-pros that are willing to help, you know. And it's great because I'm a volunteer. I've got an idea of what I want to do with this football club of mine, but I'm restricted to my knowledge, and that's never playing football as a professional, never coaching or managing at any professional or even adult level. I've been a coach for 15 years, but the oldest I've coached is an under-15s team. And it's you know, the support that people give staff, things like if there's a kid injured, you send some of your messages. I forwarded them on a wee Scotty when you were saying about this wee boy, and she's telling this wee boy, do you know who Bob Malcolm is? I played for Rangers. You know, it's just amazing that, you know, the effect that professionals can have on kids. And it's something in the 7 years that I started Sons of Struth Football Academy. It's really refreshing because I didn't expect it, the level of the stuff. And even Elon Shanklin came around when he was it, I'm trying to remember if he was at Aberdeen at the time. No, he was loan at here. He was still contract. And she'd just been able to come down to training for half an hour and sat with a group of kids and just say, right, he's a professional football player. Anyone to ask him, who wants to be a professional football player? Everyone puts a hand up. Right, there's a guy that's done it. Do you want to ask him anything? And can you, these wee kids, and you say, I'm just a boy faced down the Glasgow, and I've done this and I've done that, and I was playing here. And now you're getting by. Yeah,
you're basically just the same as what they are at that point. You've done it. And to be fair, obviously my wee boy's only 13 and he loves football. He might never be good enough to play at a level, but I take my half because he actually going to watching the coaches, even the teams he's playing against every week. Like your set up, boys, you're not getting paid for it. You're out Saturday morning, pissing rain, trying to coach kids to make them better. It's guys like yous and all the other coaches that they just need to help, because how many players have you got that you could probably have that are better, but they can't play because their mums and dads can't afford it?
It's the thing I say, it's becoming a middle-class sport, unfortunately, Bob. That's a whole tours on top.
Me growing up, my mum and dad didn't drive. And obviously living in East End of Glasgow, trying to get to Ibrox was a nightmare for me. I had to go try and get a train or a bus into town, then the underground. But that, I was too young, so my mum wouldn't probably let me do that myself. So I had to rely on my uncle or my auntie. And to be fair, if it wasn't for them, then I probably wouldn't have been able to play football at the level I did, because they used to run me everywhere.
What are you like as a parent inside the park?
Quiet.
I'll bet. I'll tell you a weird story, right? The hardest thing about kids' football is the parents. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I'm not saying every parent, I'd say 80-90% of parents are absolutely fantastic. But you get that wee 10% that can sometimes ruin it. And that's the same in anything, right? But it's a tough gig. And sometimes you just look at folk and you think, I'm doing this for the love of your win, because I don't have a win at this club, and you'd want to be an absolute rocket to me. And we, Billy Reid's assistant manager at Chelsea, and his grandson signs for Sons of Struth, right? And we called game, and I think he's been at the club maybe a couple of months. And Billy's obviously quite busy at this point, right? And the coach had left, so I've ended up taking this wee team under 11s or something at the time. And I mean, his name again, he was a manager, you know, gets a sack for Chelsea. So Billy, Potter gets a sack, right? So Billy's not got a job. The first Saturday, right, I'm standing and looking around like, oh no, Billy Reid's turned up, right? And you're going, he knows a fair bit about football, right? Billy Reid walked around the park with his other grandchild in a pram and just walked around the whole park for the whole time of that game and never said a single word. And then it came to maybe four or five games in the bounce. And I thought, he gets it. And I thought, I'm glad it's me that's taking this team, because see, I'm used to meeting people yourselves and, you know, good people within football. And although you've got a lot of respect from that, this ain't happening as much, right? I mean, still, I'm going out of this guy's Chelsea at the time. I think he came to one game actually, but he was still at Chelsea. Actually, that's not true. He's assistant manager at Chelsea at the time. And a lot of coaches might have been more interested in that and put him off. Like, just go on, mate. And I thought, see a guy that was due to shout on about where a propeller should be or say something during the game. It's him at that particular venue at the time. The only person that would probably be qualified that, and you know, not interested. Just wants to score and just say, do you know what? That's your coach.
I've had parents say, how do you know certain? And I'm like, because I'm not their coach. I says, whether I agree with what's happening or not, I don't. I'm not the coach. I'm just a dad, the same as everybody else. Or a mum, same as everybody else. I just go on with it. And if I'll try and if my son's playing or whatever, if he comes on and he does something good, I'll say, look, you've done that good, but you could have maybe done this a wee bit better. And then he'll probably go, no, it'd be the huff. I'm like,
who do you think you're talking to?
Aye. You done
100 games for Rangers, wee man. You should have moved right.
And then, but then he'll probably go away and think about it, and he'll come in and he'll say, "Yeah, you might be right." And I said to him the other night, he's came in a bad mood. His coaches shouted at him because he doesn't shout for the ball. And I mean, but he's right. And then he's like, "What are you taking his side for?" I'm not taking his side. I'm just telling you, he's right in what he's saying. But why? How is he right? And I went, because. And it's not just you, it's that probably at that age, these are all pals. You don't want to shout at each other in case you fight with somebody. Aye. I says, but shout at them, say, give me the ball. And he's like, he said, I started doing it. And I went, keep doing it then.
Well, look, mate, I'm just looking at the timer there. This is the longest one I've ever done. I always say to folks, because I knew your time, start talking shite. We're nearly over 2.5 hours, man. Incredible. But listen, incredible journey with you there, Giro, starting all the way through to the current time, and I know you've getting, you know, you've stated your ambitions to get back involved now that you've had the operation and stuff. And I wish you all the best for that. I think the experience you've got and the knowledge that you've got should be certainly somewhere in the game, and you know, good luck with the endeavours to do that.
See, just before we go, Craig, see like you're talking about with the kids. Mm-hmm. People ask me, how did you what did you do to, like, how did you pass the ball, the way you passed it and all that? Do you know what I used to do? And people also
kick a ball.
No, they think you're taking the piss. I had a paper run when I was at school. So before I went to training, I used to have to run up the road, get my paper bag, go and get the papers, run around all the houses and dirty papers. I had a ball with me. See the old, you remember them, the old bus stops, remember the old plastic, like sheeted bus stops? Yeah. Where they were like, remember the old European goals?
Aye.
Square. I used to ping balls into them.
Use them as a goal?
Use them as a goal when I was running up the street. And then see, like, say, like, if maybe I'm got a house that's maybe 50 yards up the road and it's like 10 gardens away, I would bend the ball into that and try and hit their gate. Like, just wee stupid things like that. But I would always have a ball with me. An old bladder.
It's incredible to say that. And it's something that we get our older kids to 1.5 hour sessions a week. So we've got them for 3 hours a week and maybe on a Saturday. The younger ones have got them on two 1 hour sessions and then another on a Saturday. I can, because of the policies and the processes we use at our club, guarantee you that if you give us a kid and they tune in, we will make them a better football player. Mm-hmm. But we've only got some of them for 3 hours a week.
Aye.
So, you know, we can do so much. But see, and I think that's, we recently got a guy, it's a professional, no say what club he's at, because he maybe shouldn't have, but he devised a fitness programme for us that we videoed. It's 22 minutes long, and it's devised for kids that have just started playing on the side, so 12-year-old numbers. So we started putting that in on a video. You get once a week at the house, you put it onto his own iPhone, whatever. He watches this video and does this fitness video. It's 22 minutes long. And what we've said is, see the kids that are playing 11 a side, a wee bit more serious, that is a minimum. You must do it at least once a week. See the kids that are a wee bit younger, it's up to you, right? See my parents say, I've not got time.
Aye.
It's 22 minutes to make your kid be a better footballer. If you can't do that 22 minutes, there's none of them, I'll guarantee you, are doing what you've done, and that was committing hours, just a ball at your feet. And there's this ethos about 10,000 hours to be good at the best at whatever it is, your children will play the piano or do podcasts or be a football player or deliver papers. Until you've done it for 10,000 hours, you can't get to your peak. It's impossible. You try working out, if kids only come to us for their hours, 2 hours a week, they're never getting to 10,000 hours. And I think football...
Was that the thing that Walter tried to implement when he was...
I'm not sure. It was something that I heard. I was a sales manager for a long time. I was a sales trainer for a long time. And it was something I picked up through that. And it's a theory that's put to playing the piano, doing anything, unless you can get better all the time. But to get to your peak, you need to put 10,000 hours in.
I think that was something, maybe, I don't know if it may have been when Walter was a Scotland manager or when he came back to Rangers, he came out and I don't know if it was 10,000 hours, but it was something like that.
Aye.
And he said that's where the kids need to play, because you're taking your school football away. So if you play for a school team, and then you sign for Rangers, you can't play for your school team. You need to play with Rangers. Whereas, why you play for everybody? If you day out enough during the week, why not?
Yeah, I just don't know if you'll get the odd one, right? Because I see it in front of my eyes. That's got the dedication that they'll do without even asking them. But you go, what chance have you got? And again, it's not a big, massive majority. You go, there's something that we expect you to do. We've went away and resourced this for you to help your kid be better. And you tell me that you're not doing it. The Wayne's doing it.
Yeah.
And some of the Wayne's probably don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. And if you put it in front of him and you tell the Wayne, you have to do that 22 minutes a week, at least once. They probably have to do it two or three times because they've all got access to phones and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's you're right. It's the application, I think, that's the biggest thing. So. Yeah.
See, but that's got to come within as well. I done it myself. I can remember talking about the Glasgow Cup earlier. Me think to myself, you're playing against older guys now. You might need to be fitter and stuff. So I would go and I would eat a yogurt with fruit in the morning of the game, and then go a run doing a bit spring boy when I still live my
room. In the morning of the game.
In the morning of the game, and then I'd come back to the house. Sit about for a couple of hours and then go to the game and then play and just be fine. But then you growing up, you all used to have the old jackets doing for goals and he did two touch with your pals and you'd be there for hours, loving it. The kids don't do that.
Not allowed.
What I will say about my son and a few of his pals, what I've noticed the last maybe 6 months is they go to a game on Saturday morning. Bang, as soon as they come back, they're up Broadwood and they're playing up there until maybe 6, 7 o'clock at night. And they do that after school, sometimes during the week and all. And I'm like, well, that's a start, because you don't really, kids are about to come in and play in their PlayStation, don't they? And I never, even when I was younger, I never pushed them to play football. It was lockdown that made them want to play. And I was like, brilliant. If that's what you want to do, then we'll try and get you in a wee team and see how you do.
Let's start a bit. And the football, I think, it's if you don't make it as a professional football player, that's the biggest mistake I made. I just stopped playing at football. Mm-hmm. And you're going, no, I should never stop. You know, you guys that use are still playing your five or sizes, you're over 35s, it's a great thing now, or playing amateur, whatever. And you don't need to be a professional to still play at football. And I think that's a message I try to get out to kids, that if you don't play for Rangers or Celtic or Real Madrid,
they still play.
And listen, if you don't play for Dumbarton and you don't play for East Fife, you don't play for Celtic Hearts, there's an amateur team. It's half decent in Paisley. Because it's a great sport. There's so much, you know, obviously the physical benefits you get out of participating in any sport. But football's a great sport. See the camaraderie, the changing room, the banter. And it doesn't matter if you're playing for Real Madrid or Sons of Struth under 12s. You get into a changing room, there's a vibe goes on in there and it's great. But I can't believe the chat we've had, Bob. It's been great. I can't thank you enough. I think the best, biggest gift to give anybody is your time. So if you give me so much time today, is absolutely fantastic. And is there anything that you hadn't covered that you wanted to cover?
No, mate, that's about everything. It's been a pleasure.
It's been like, this is your life to the Red Book.
It's been a pleasure. I don't speak to Indy for this long either. but no, it's, as I say, any wee bit that if some kid or somebody that's trying to do something in the game can take something out of it, then it's all the good for them.
All right. Well, mate, honestly, I can't thank you enough. It's been great, and thank you for the respect that you've shown me through the time that I've known you, and just coming in here today has been fantastic. So, Bob Malcolm, it's been an absolute pleasure.
All right, mate, thank you.